Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to uncover the truth that shook the nation? Introducing Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Prepare to be captivated as this groundbreaking documentary pulls back the curtain on the remarkable journey of General Michael Flynn. Join us as we delve into the depths of power, challenging conventional narratives, and confront the very essence of truth itself. Featuring exclusive interviews with influential figures such as Tucker Carlson, Devin Nunes, and the man himself, General Flynn, this film is a riveting exploration of one man's courageous stand against the forces of corruption. Don't miss your chance to witness history unfold on the big screen. Be part of the live screenings happening nationwide and immerse yourselves in the gripping tale of bravery and resilience. And here's the best part. You can even meet General Flynn in person at select screenings. Rub shoulders with a true American hero and gain firsthand insights into the events that shaped our nation's history. Tickets are selling fast, so secure your seats now before they're gone. Visit jeffdornick.com/Flynn to order your tickets and be a part of the unforgettable cinematic experience. Again, that's jeffdornick.com/Flynn.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silent, not praised.
Unelected deep state operatives who defy the voters to push their own secret agendas are truly a threat to democracy.
And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Jeff Dornick Show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Just a quick reminder before we get started that one of our primary sponsors is Our Gold Guy, especially with inflation the way that it's going, Joe Biden and all of his ridiculous economic policies just tanking the dollar. One of the best things that you guys can do is hedge against that with investing in gold. So go over to OurGoldGuy.com, see if investing in gold is right for you. Make sure that you tell Ira that Jeff Dornick sent you and he will take great, great care of you. He's got some of the best rates. He's also an America First Patriot as well. So again, that is OurGoldGuy.com. Let them know that Jeff sent you and Ira will take great, great care of you. So without further ado, we are bringing on our guest for today. We've got Brandon Strock joining us from the Walkaway Movement. Welcome to the show. Glad we can sit down and we can chat again.
Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. And I know, you know, we were talking a little bit, you know, before you came on, but you've got a very interesting event that you guys are putting on coming up. And I'll preface it by saying that in my opinion, as Republicans, as conservatives, we need more events like this and maybe less of the rallies that are just catering to our base. Can you explain kind of what you guys are doing and the idea behind having this kind of an event?
Yeah, absolutely. So the event is on October 15th. That's just a week from this Saturday in Washington, D.C. This is a live event with a live audience. We'll also be live streaming it, but I really want to try to pack the house with as many people, supporters as possible to get behind the event live at the venue. So this is going to be a Black Americans left versus Black Americans right live debate. I don't think anything quite like this has ever happened before. And in my opinion, this is probably the most important conversation we can be having right now, certainly in the very top few most important conversations that we could be having right now, because I think that nothing divides Americans more than the conversation of race. And nobody is exploiting that division more than the Democratic Party, the liberal media, and the political left. These divisions have existed for a long time, but everything kind of went into overdrive after the death of George Floyd in 2020, particularly when Trump was still in office and the way that this was being manipulated. And so what we want to do with this event is get people who represent the political left, Black Americans, and have them answer questions while being debated by Black Americans on the right and expose some of these narratives that are being manipulated. Things like race theory, the Black Lives Matter movement, white supremacy, systemic racism. Is America a fundamentally racist country? Which party is providing policies that are better supporting the Black community in America? And talk about Trump and talk about Biden and talk about economy and immigration and all the other issues that affect all of us, not just Black Americans, but get this stuff out on the table and talk about it and expose it for what it really is once and for all. We're going to do that. And I think that this conversation is going to resonate for years to come. But I really hope that right now, going into the midterms, people pay a lot of attention to what we're doing, because as you just pointed out, these are the conversations that are going to wake people up, get people thinking differently, and make people consider voting differently than they ever have before. And when we talk about the Black community, I often talk about voting generationally as opposed to how the Black community has been voting for decades, because it's not just a matter. We know that at a rate of about 90%, Black Americans are voting Democrat, and this has been going on for many generations. Why do I use the word generations and not decades? Because when we've gotten the testimonials of Black Americans telling their stories about why they've walked away from the Democratic Party in my movement, what we've heard time and again is that this is a generational thing. People are voting the way that their parents voted, that their grandparents voted, that the people in their communities voted, because the narratives that people have been told for generations are that the Democrats are the party that are going to support marginalized communities and racial minority communities, and that the Republicans are the party of greedy, self-interested white people who are bigots and racists, and that Black people have no seat at the table on the right. I want to blow the lid off of this entire construct that's been created and expose everything for what it really is. And that's what we're going to do with this event.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think for me, why an event like this is so important is when you look at what the Republican Party is doing right now, even the conservative movement, the Trump crowd and all that kind of stuff, what they're doing is they're playing to their base. And obviously, Democrats are doing this too. It seems like everybody right now is playing to their base. And my concern is that that doesn't allow us to really gain new voters, new supporters. What it's doing is it's getting the people that already support us to support us more, which last I checked, if you're one person, you get one vote. So it doesn't matter how enthusiastic I am about that. It's still one vote. So my concern is the Republican Party in general is not reaching out beyond the constructs of our own base. Nobody's doing outreach to the independents. Nobody's doing outreach to the Democrats. And it seems to me that's a major fail on the part of the Republican Party that there's not more events like what you're putting on.
Yeah, it is a major fail, which is part of the reason why I do it and why I've done all the work that I've done with Walkaway. I mean, honestly, so much of what influenced the outreach and the events and the video content and so much of what I've done with Walkaway since 2018 are the holes that I've seen in the conservative movement and the failures of the Republican Party. I looked around and I said, I would have walked away many, many years before I walked away if I had known X, Y, and Z about the Republican Party, if I had known the truth about X, Y, and Z. But that information was not available, or it certainly wasn't being targeted to me or brought to me. I had to find it out for myself. And so I wanted to take the information that I had learned, continue to learn more. That's an ongoing process. But take what I have learned and do outreach of my own through my organization for these communities, because you're right, it's not being done. And I would actually argue too, to your point about whether it be Trump rallies or whatever it is that's kind of giving, I think, a lot of Republicans this false illusion that we're doing so much better than perhaps we're actually doing, because people look at a Trump rally and they say, 20,000 people came or 30,000 people came or X number of thousands of people came. And that's a sign that we're going to have a big red wave, or that's a sign that, where things are looking great for all of us. The thing, Donald Trump is always going to be able to attract tens of thousands of people, always, no matter what, whether he's running for office, whether he's not running for office, for the rest of his life. And that's fine, as he should, because I think that he sparked a movement and a change politically in this country that has resonated with people. It's a good change. It's a great movement. It's a great message. And that's always going to appeal to people, I think, until for the rest of his life. But I don't think that people should look at the attendance of his rallies and think that that's indicative in some way of some guarantee of success that we're going to have at our in our elections. The only thing that's going to guarantee success in elections is getting people to change their mind about the way that they think and about the way that they're willing to vote. And that's only going to happen by doing outreach and doing events like what we're doing. So that's why I think that this is super important. And I guess to the point that you just made, I would encourage people to not get a false sense of confidence based off of attendance at a Trump rally or the success of Trump.
Yeah, well, I think as always, it seems like there's a sense of hypocrisy among a lot of our argumentation on the Republican side as well, because I remember when, like, Democrats, they would hold huge rallies or huge protests, whether it was Black Lives Matter or going back to the Occupy days or whatever it might be. And, you know, and they'd have thousands and thousands of people out in the streets, but Republicans, oh, well, they just don't have jobs. They would always make excuses as to why they don't actually have the momentum. But then with us, then we look specifically to the size of the crowds. And it's this kind of like double standard, I think. And I think, like you said, it's like we need to kind of take our focus away from the size of the crowds, because clearly that's not necessarily going to be indicative of how many people are going to vote. And we need to start looking at the way people are thinking. What are people's worldview? How do we get people to understand the lies that are pushed by the Democrat Party, pushed by the left in general? We gotta wake people up instead of just focus on how many people can we get to an event. Hey guys, this is Jeff Dornick. I just wanted to take a second just to come to you guys and let you guys know about a book that I'm currently writing called Following the Leader. This is a book that will be out hopefully by the end of the year, maybe beginning of 2024. But this is a book where I'm documenting how the intelligence agencies have been working directly with cults like Scientology, you know, people like Charles Manson, people like Jim Jones, even Jeffrey Epstein, and the cult tactics that they've perfected within these groups that they're now using on the masses, now using on you and I and our friends and family and people all over this world. You know, this will answer a lot of the questions about why your friends and family, they see the truth right in front of them, but they just cannot believe what is right in front of their eyes. Well, it's because they've been brainwashed and manipulated by these tactics that they perfected within the cult. So it's so important that we understand not only why this is happening, but how it's happening, what tactics they've perfected, the whole entire process. So go pre-order the book, Following the Leader. Go to jeffdornick.com/store. Pre-order today. All pre-orders will get a signed copy once the book is released. Again, jeffdornick.com/store.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky smooth Tree Dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Runner, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Absolutely. For sure. And that's, again, why I think that it's so important for people to take events like what I'm doing very seriously. I mean, it's been this source of great frustration for me, for a lot of people around me who really support and back the Walkaway movement and our message and our mission, that we have to try so hard to, I mean, I'm literally at right now, this event is coming up on October 15th, and I'm like busting my tail from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to bed, which is very late into the night, trying to connect with people in Washington, D.C., and trying to push out the event as much as possible. To me, this should be, you know, we should have sold out tickets to this event in a day or two, you know, because it's not even like we're not trying to sell thousands of tickets. You know, we're talking about hundreds. We're trying to get hundreds of tickets for people to come and hear this conversation. And it's a struggle. But, you know, then it's like if, you know, if there were, say, a Trump rally or something like that coming to D.C., well, of course, we know like tens of thousands of people would sign up immediately. And I want to encourage people. And that's great. I mean, I'm not saying don't go to Trump. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying let's prioritize a little bit what's important here. I mean, sometimes it's more important not to just do what makes you feel good or makes you feel reassured, but go and be a part of actually making the change that's going to benefit, you know, the elections that come in a couple of years or 4 years, or, you know, we're planting seeds today that are going to sprout into hopefully this the change that we need to see going forward in the future, and that needs to grow and grow and grow. But we need the help of all people to come be a part of this movement, part of the conversation, and help push this out and spread the message. And that's frustrating to me that that's even something that I would need to sell to people or, you know, to explain the importance of doing that. I mean, but it is what it is. So I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think to a certain degree, part of the thing, we've been lulled into this sense of waiting for the savior to come and save us all, right? And so, and I think that to a certain degree, that's the appeal of somebody like a Donald Trump is people love to go to his events because they love basically watching him supposedly be saving the country. When I keep saying the only way we're going to save this country is we the people. And that means that you, as an individual person, you need to get educated. You need to know how to articulate your positions. You need to know how to debate properly with your friends, with your family, with the people in your circles. Because I'm telling you, Donald Trump is not going to wake up your neighbor that the Democrat Party is evil and you need to walk away from them. It's going to be you articulating it in a rational, logical way. But if you're not taking the time to, let's say, go to a debate like what you guys are putting on, or watching particular videos, or reading books, or actually learning what you actually believe, then we're never going to actually save this country and turn things around.
100%. Yeah. And it's got to be a proactive approach. I've been tired for many years, even long before January 6th, of conservatives talking about how, you know, what can we do? What can we do? We have jobs. We have this limitation or that limitation. Or, I mean, you can be sharing posts. You can be helping spread the word about these events. You can be calling people that you know and are sharing. I mean, there's so many ways that require very little energy or effort to support people who are really putting themselves on the line, and I consider myself to be one of those people. And, you know, if you can't attend, and I understand that, I mean, certainly not everyone can jump on a plane or a train or in their car and come, and I get it. But, you know, social media suppression of political speech in general, but particularly conservative political speech, is a very, very real thing and a very real problem. So, you know, I mean, they're even making the effort to just go to people's pages on a daily basis. I mean, when I post about this event that we're doing on October 15th, the Black Debate event, I posted a post on my Facebook page, which has 360 or 70,000 followers. And these posts are getting like 15 likes and 3 or 4 shares. Now, that would be fine if my other posts were equally, you know, such low engagement, but they're not. If I, you know, other posts that I'm putting, even, you know, today, yesterday, the day before, where I'm just saying things like opinions about politics or news, are getting thousands and thousands of likes, hundreds of shares, sometimes more than that. So it's very obvious that there's a strategic effort to suppress, like, the ability to actually promote an event like this and get the word out. But if people made the effort to just come to my page and know, you know, just be like, look, here's somebody who's trying to make a difference, who's going above and beyond, trying to get out there and be the change that we need to see in the world. So one thing that you can do is, you know that these things are being suppressed. Make the extra effort to come to the page, grab the link, go share it, share. It's frustrating. You know, it's people need to be doing more and taking this into their own hands. The savior complex is very real, what you said. I mean, I think before I got arrested, I fell into that category as well. I mean, I think that people saw me as one of those saviors. And, you know, I'm an extremely hard worker and I love to get out there and be busy and do the work. And I have no issue with that, but I can't fix the world either. Donald Trump can't fix the world. I can't fix the world. We all have to kind of do our part to be a piece of that change collectively, working together. It's up to everybody.
Yeah. And I think that you know, that kind of savior complex is extremely dangerous because it's lulling people into the sense that I don't have to get engaged. I don't have to be active. And kind of what you're talking about there is, you know, with the way that the algorithms work, with the way that big tech works, we have to be very intentional about where we're getting our information, which people we're supporting, because it's not going to be organically like the way that it used to be. And I think that that's the thing that we've got to understand. If we're going to turn things around, we're going to wake people up, we're going to save this country, it's going to take intentional effort on all of our parts in order to do that. That goes for social media, that goes for going to the right events, that goes for where we're sending our money, where we're spending our time. No longer can we kind of just coast and play follow the leader. Now we've actually got to get engaged and get in the game, because I you know, I'm fearing that not only are we you know, losing to the Democrats, not only are we obviously losing to the globalist elite, but right now we're even losing within our own party. Like we've got the rhinos, we've got the establishment elitist class really kind of running the show within the Republican Party, and everybody keeps complaining about it, but nobody's really doing anything about it. And that's, we've got to get actual intentional action if we're going to turn things around.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. And this is another, you're like pushing all of my buttons today, by the way. Like you're like literally describing every issue that I just makes me want to like bash my head against a wall on a daily basis. We also have a problem in the conservative movement of people sort of glorifying and heroizing, if that's a word, putting people on a pedestal, the wrong people. And it's extremely disappointing to me, because I feel like what it indicates to me is that a lot of people in the conservative movement believe that if they see someone on television, that's a sign that they're a good person and that they're an effective voice or activist in our movement. I mean, I see people on Fox News almost every night. I'm not talking about the employees, the hosts. I'm talking about the guest contributors. I'm talking about the recurring guests, which I was for many years. And since my arrest, my misdemeanor charge on January 6th, it seems that I'm no longer welcome on the network. But before that, but I mean, even still, I see the recurring guest roster and I'm like, what do these people do? And it's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you go on television and you share your opinion about what's going on in the world, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to shame that game. But I'm saying that there seems to be this message that a lot of conservatives get that, like, oh, well, I see this person on television all the time, so that means they're important. And it's like, I happen to know for a fact that some of the most effective and hardest working and important grassroots activists in this country never get a television interview, never get any attention for anything they do. They never get any props. They never... And meanwhile, a lot of the people that are recurringly being asked to go on television and open, you know, do nothing, nothing. So I want people to start getting their priorities straight about who you think is important and what movements and groups you think are important, and stop believing that just because you see somebody on TV regularly, yak, even if it's me, by the way, even myself. You know, if I get back in the good graces of some of these cable news networks and they start having me on several times a week, that doesn't mean I'm important. I want you to only judge based off of the work that I'm doing, the events that I'm doing, the grassroots activism that I'm doing. Judge my importance based off of that and use that same standard to judge every other person.
Yeah. Oh no, and that's extremely important. And, you know, and I think that goes obviously for the commentators. That goes for the people that are putting on events. It goes for the politicians, the people that were the candidates that were voting for. And I think a lot of times people buy into this lie that you have to almost look into a crystal ball and look into the future and see who do you think has the best chance of winning instead of necessarily voting for the best candidate. And one of the things that I always warn people about is oftentimes if you see somebody taking money from the GOP, there's going to be strings attached. And so just because you have the GOP endorsed candidate or the front runner or whatever that might be, that doesn't mean that that's the right person to vote for. Look at what they actually believe. Look at what they've done. And I think that goes to kind of your message right here is we need to look past all of the narratives. We need to look past who's being platformed and actually get into what do people believe? What are they actually doing? And are they the right person instead of just the glorified person that's put up on a pedestal?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, too, you know, there's been an enormous amount of power that's been put behind the Donald Trump endorsed candidates for going into the midterm elections. And I will say that a good majority of the time, I agree, and I think he gets it right. But I walked away from the left because it became sort of a monolithic. It became no longer safe or okay or advisable to be able to express dissent, to be able to argue back against people on the left about what I was starting to see happening to the political left, things that I disagreed with and things I didn't like. And if that begins becoming the norm on the right, then I won't stay there either. I won't stay anywhere where I'm not allowed to ask questions or challenge things that I disagree with. And what I see starting to happen with some people is this sort of autopilot kind of thinking where, you know, it's like if Donald Trump endorses somebody, then that's automatically who we're going to get behind and you know, to be damned with anybody else. And I think that Pennsylvania is a great example of that because a good majority of people, well, I don't know if it's a majority, but a good number of people were not supportive of Dr. Oz. And then there became kind of this coordinated effort to take out, is it Kathy Barnett?
Barnett, yeah, I believe Kathy Barnett.
Barnett. Yeah, I was blanking on her last name. And I was actually kind of starting to like her, and a lot of people, I think, were starting to like her, and I think she was scrappy, and she was kind of making it on her own without a lot of support. And the moment that Oz got endorsed, there became this coordinated effort to just take her out, and I was like, that's weird. I think that's really weird. And to me, it's just one example of the ways in which, you know, I don't want people to become cult-minded on the right. I want people to ask questions, challenge the status quo. And, you know, certainly I think that we can look to a leader for guidance, but not to dictate, you know, how we should think or what we should believe or who we should support. I don't want to do that.
Folks, listen up. I've got something crucial to share with you today. In this uncertain world, you need to be prepared for anything, especially when it comes to your health. That's where The Wellness Company comes in, offering you peace of mind in a box with their medical emergency kit. Picture this. You're faced with a medical emergency and you need quick, effective treatment. The Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is like having a strategic arsenal of life-saving medications right at your fingertips. From proven treatments like ivermectin to generic Z-Pax and amoxicillin, this kit has got you covered. But that's not all. Every kit comes with a medical emergency guidebook, ensuring you have the knowledge to use these medications safely and effectively. It's like having a medical professional right there with you when you need it most. And here's the kicker. Use code FFN to get 10% off your medical emergency kit at twc.health/FFN. That's right, folks. 10% off, peace of mind in a box. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your medical emergency kit today and be ready for whatever comes your way. Stay safe, stay prepared with The Wellness Company. Again, use code FFN to get 10% off your medical emergency kit at twc.health/FFN.
Hey there, freedom-loving carnivores. It's Jeff Dornick from Freedom First Network, and I've got a message for you. Are you tired of feeling like your beef choices are under siege? Well, fellow patriots, it's time to fight back with Prepper All Naturals. That's right, folks. In a world where the beef industry is under constant attack, Prepper All Naturals is here to stand tall and proud as a veteran-owned beacon of quality, taste, and freedom. When the guys at Prepper All Natural set out to provide you with the finest beef products, they knew they had a duty to defend America's beef legacy, and that's why we're proud to partner with them, bringing you the best of what this great land has to offer. Whether it's their succulent freeze-dried beef cubes or their premium freezer boxes packed with steaks and roasts, we're redefining what it means to enjoy beef today and tomorrow. And let me tell you, folks, their freeze-dried beef isn't just delicious, it's built to last. With proper stores, their beef cubes can maintain their quality and freshness for up to a decade, ensuring you'll never have to compromise on taste or nutrition. But wait, there's more. They're not just in the business of selling beef. They're in the business of defending freedom. That's why they promise to never sell you anything less than 100% all-American natural beef. No lab-grown imposters, no experimental jabs, and certainly no compromises with the woke agenda. So, fellow beef enthusiasts, join us in our mission to protect America's beef legacy. Visit freedomfirstbeef.com and use code FFN for 15% off your order. Because when you choose Prepper All Naturals, you're not just eating well today, you're eating well tomorrow. And together, we'll ensure that beef remains a symbol of freedom for generations to come. Prepper All Naturals, where beef meets freedom.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable, it's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Yeah, well, I think along those lines as well, we as the conservative movement need to begin to figure out what we actually believe. What is our worldview? How do we look at the world? And then we find the candidates that fit in with that. It seems like the direction that we're heading right now is we pick somebody that we want to follow in this case. And again, I'm not turning into like a never Trump person. So for people that are watching this, I'm not going like I'm anti-Trump or anything like that. But it's just that it's an easy example of what we're looking at. Where it seems like right now what's happening is Donald Trump is setting the narrative and setting the stage for, you know, candidates to vote for, agendas, things along those lines. And people are just following because he says so, as opposed to thinking critically. First, I always say, first start out, what do you believe? Then you find the candidate that fits in with that, as opposed to finding the candidate that you like first and then adjusting and kind of changing with the wind and the times to fall in line with that candidate. It's like everybody's thinking backwards about this. Stop being a follower. You know, we always make fun of the left for being right. Sheeple, but it seems like that's the direction that we're heading on our side too. And I find that very, very concerning.
I do too. And to your point a moment ago where you sort of made a disclaimer about not being a never Trumper, let's make clear right now for the audience, I correct me if you disagree with what I'm about to say. I don't think that what we're expressing here is that the issue is Trump. I'm not saying the issue is Trump. I'm saying the issue is how people are reacting to Trump or responding to Trump. The problem is potentially, and in some cases currently, the people and how they're allowing themselves to become disengaged simply because it's easier to just to go along with whatever the recommendation is that's made by Donald Trump. And I think that that's he's a great resource and a great reference. And I think certainly if he puts his endorsement behind somebody, it's a great idea to then go and study up on that person, how you feel about them. But so, the issue is not about like criticizing Trump. The issue is criticizing how people are reacting and how it's allowed people to stop thinking, I think, in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, then the question becomes is how do we wake up our own side? Because obviously, you know, like you're focusing on trying to wake up Democrats and have them leave the Democrat Party. But then also we've also got to wake up Republicans and have them kind of leave this cult mindset and cult mentality and start thinking independently and start thinking critically, even when it comes to somebody like President Trump. Because I'm telling you, Donald Trump is not perfect. I don't care which candidate you talk about, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, whoever it is. They are not perfect. They're going to be wrong on some particular issues, and that's okay. And disagreeing with that person does not mean that you're trying to take them out or you disagree with them or you never want them to be elected or anything along those lines. It means that you dissent on that one issue, and that's okay to have within the Republican Party. And I would argue it's actually necessary so that way we're constantly forcing ourselves to reevaluate our positions, as opposed to just sitting there thinking, okay, we're all in lockstep. We all 100% agree with each other. If we get into that, that's even dangerous territory.
It is. It definitely is. And I think you made a good point earlier about establishing what are our values? What are we about? I mean, we don't even know, honestly, at this point, who in Republican establishment leadership supports this changing Republican Party and who doesn't. I mean, because in my mind, and I think a lot of people's minds, we've got sort of the MAGA / America First Republican Party, and then we've got the more traditional establishment Republican Party, which in my estimation is at this point much less popular than the America First changing MAGA Republican Party. But I haven't heard anything from Ronna McDaniels or Republican leadership, the RNC. What are our values and what do we embrace? Are we moving forward as the America First Republican Party, or are we moving forward as the more pre-Donald Trump traditional Republican Party? And if so, what does that look like and what is your plan? I mean, we need to know this so that we can understand what we're getting behind and what we're backing. And do we need to make some changes and think accordingly, you know, to what it is that our leadership, and in some cases leadership, actually supports and what they're actually doing. But I think that once we have a better grasp of that, then we can start to sort of understand, even at a more local level, what it is that we're doing. That's the one really good thing and exciting thing that I see that's happened in our movement among just the common people from coast to coast. Since Donald Trump went into office, which is more people getting involved in politics, more people getting involved in government, and more people getting involved even at a local level, school boards, running for mayor, running for local legislatures, running for, and doing it with a real sense of urgency and purpose. That urgency being seeing that our country is going down quickly and that there is a leftist takeover of all factions of our society and our government, and that people want to fight back against that. That I think is incredibly important and a positive side effect of the Donald Trump presidency. And I want to see more of it. Like, that's the good part. Let's continue to grow that.
Right. Well, you know, what's interesting is you had mentioned like Ronna McDaniel and the established Republicans. We don't really know where they stand. Well, it was interesting is just about a week or so ago, I actually went to an event out here in Southern California. And it was Ronna McDaniel was there and speaking and all of that. And it was fascinating because she was bringing up the Republican candidates that are in the local area and talking about them and then talking about the agenda moving forward out here in communist California. And what was interesting hearing from her is it was almost like everybody was pretending that there was no Donald Trump presidency, that there is no MAGA movement, there is no America for. It's like they're going back to business as usual. They're talking about felt needs, or talking about these things that are like kind of like surface level issues, and thinking that, oh, that'll get votes. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, there was nothing of substance that was actually said. There was nothing about our actual concerns, about our actual constitutional rights being taken away legitimately by this federal government and the local state government. There was nothing about the root causes of these problems actually bringing about change. What it was, well, we want to give you a little bit of extra money with some tax cuts. We want to do X, Y, and Z with this funding, with this spending. There was actually a candidate that she brought up and totally endorsed and all that kind of stuff that was bragging out here in California about the fact that she had 12 bills that she wrote, got onto Governor Newsom's desk that he signed into law, and how she actually reaches across the aisle and works with the Democrats. And I'm like, you're talking about the Democrats out here in California that don't care about your freedom. They don't care about your rights, and you're bragging about working with them. And Ronna McDaniel is there endorsing this and all of that. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not the Republican Party that obviously we want to get people away from the Democrats, but that's not the Republican Party that I want to send people to. It's very concerning for me.
Yeah, I think it's very concerning for a lot of people, and it makes people feel that we've been abandoned, I think, in many ways to sort of figure this out for ourselves. I certainly feel that way, but I feel that way on many levels. I mean, based off of the fact that I created a very resonant movement in this country, which was never acknowledged by the Republican Party or the RNC, never. Never acknowledged by the leadership of the Republican Party. And then, of course, people know that I was arrested and dragged through an ongoing hell at the hands of the Biden DOJ. And I've been largely abandoned there, too. And so for me, there's a very personal aspect of confusion about where our leadership stance on many things. But then as an American citizen, there's that confusion as well, which I think resonates with most voters in the Republican Party. We truly don't know how our own leadership feels and where they stand. And do they support Trump? I literally don't know. Do we know if Ronna McDaniel supports Trump?
Not as far as I know. I've not heard her really say anything super, super positive. Okay. So I don't know.
Well, okay. Maybe we'll find out someday. I don't know. But that would be nice to know. I think it'd be nice to know, does the RNC support the America First movement or not? We know they raised hundreds of millions of dollars on pushing election fraud. And we also haven't heard much about what's going to be done to combat election fraud in the future with that money. So I'd love to know answers to those questions too.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's another concerning, aspect for me as well, heading into these midterms is, a lot of us have been talking about election fraud. I've had on some of the top election fraud, experts on the show and diving into it, they make very compelling cases, but it seems like the people that actually know this stuff, they're not actually the ones platformed and not actually the ones pushing either lawsuits or pushing agendas or anything along those lines. It's kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of the grifters, kind of the grifter attorneys that are running around there, and they talk, but they don't actually accomplish a whole lot. And I'm looking at this heading into these 2022 midterms, and I'm like, has anything of significance actually really changed to where we're not going to have a repeat of 2020? And everybody's talking about the red wave's coming. And I'm like, but number one, the Democrats really seem fired up, especially after the Roe v. Wade overturning. So they right. want to do everything that they possibly can to make sure that they can get back Roe v. Wade. But then number two, we haven't fixed the fraud, the election fraud. We haven't fixed the problem. And so we're looking at, and I'm like, how does anybody think that we're going to have any different outcome than what happened in 2020?
Yeah. And in addition to that as well, we also have done nothing to fix the hatred that the political left feels for those of us on the right, feels for Donald Trump, feels for his supporters. And in fact, it's gotten much, much worse with the putting forward the January 6th committee and those hearings and things. I mean, I personally have felt the anger and the hatred towards people like me and other Trump supporters. It's ratcheted up significantly from just, you're racists and Nazis and bigots to you guys are trying to actively overthrow our democracy and destroy our country. And they believe it. Like, they actually believe this and they're really enraged. And there's just no counter messaging whatsoever from our party about trying to get out. I mean, look, I think people view this as, well, how do we do that without sounding like we support people who busted windows and assaulted police officers? But you don't. I mean, we can all denounce those things, and most of us have. But there were hundreds of thousands of people that were in Washington, D.C. who didn't do that. and still showed up at the Capitol and were on all sides of the Capitol. And they were there to protest and to basically make clear that they felt strongly that something was wrong with the election, that they felt strongly that they wanted to protest and make their voices heard, that they wanted their vote to matter. They wanted to know that we have free and fair elections that are not being interfered with. And that's important and that matters. And I think that there's been very little effort to explain to the left why people showed up in D.C. on January 6th or why people felt the way that they felt. And there's been this runaway narrative of domestic terrorism and, you know, an attempt to overthrow the government on that day. And it's beyond disappointing. I mean, it's destructive, I think, because I think there have been real opportunities here to try to wake people up about how they're being lied to and manipulated by their party and by the media, particularly as it pertains to January 6th. And once again, you know, those opportunities have all been lost.
Yeah, and that seems to be the consistent theme among the Republican leadership, and why we've got to figure out, you know, how do we get the right people to actually be leading the party, and that's the hard part, because I think the thing that people need to remember as well is that when we're talking about turning things around with the Republican Party, this is more than just electing the right people to send to Washington D.C. This is obviously electing local officials. This is also even further than that. This is actually the entrenchment of the establishment swamp in the leadership of the party, that it's not elected positions. Like we're talking about an actual party that where people are appointed, and it's based upon your allegiance to the Republican Party, not necessarily conservative principles or America First principles or things along those lines. We've got a kind of a runaway party that's not necessarily representing our values all the time. They give lip service, but when you look at their actions, they're not actually doing that. And that's where we've got to figure out, as actual conservatives, how do we actually shift the direction of the GOP? And I think we're going to have to figure out, how do we bring everybody together and have a, for lack of a better word, almost like a Tea Party type movement, except it's actually bringing everybody together in order to force change in the GOP, because we're never going to fix the country if we can't fix the GOP.
Right. But what you just described is exactly what needs to happen. But the key piece of this that's missing is that our side of the aisle has completely dropped the ball when it came to having a voice and a space in the world of technology, in the world of media, in the world of broadcasting, entertainment, things like that. I don't even feel like we actually have a representative media anymore. And I mean, it was always, you know, the left always had a absolute dominance of the media. But now, I mean, I don't feel represented at all by conservative media anymore. I simply don't. I think it's great that there are some shows I can tune into that actually do talk about January 6th and talk about other things that people, but most of the time they're not even asking the right questions or presenting the right information. And but let's not even go down that road, because it's not even the point. The point is that until we can get a handle on our side of the aisle being able to reach people on social media, on internet searches, using the web, and other digital platforms and things like that, we're not in good shape. And there's very little that's being done to combat this. I mean, even if we get to, I actually believe that the America First movement is very much a big tent movement. I don't think that people in this movement care about a person's sexual identity or who they go to bed with or who they marry or what color their skin is or who they worship or what they worship. I don't think people care about this. But the internet tells us that this is a racist and bigoted party, that it's homophobic, that it's transphobic, that it's anti-Muslim, that it's anti-Jewish, that it's anti. And what are we doing to combat these narratives? Because this should be the movement that attracts everybody. Everybody should want to be America First. Everyone. And the only reason why people aren't is because they're getting wrong information because they're not allowed to get right information. It's being blocked. It's being sabotaged. And the only information that they're getting is reinforcing these beliefs that, depending on the color of your skin or your gender, your sexual orientation, you're not welcome or have a place in this big tent movement, which is absolutely untrue. Which kind of brings us back to the event that Walkaway is doing on October 15th.
No, absolutely. And I think that's an important distinction, I think, to make as well, because what we're talking about, especially when it comes to the America First movement, we're talking about legitimately just bringing us back to freedom and liberty and opportunity for every single man, woman, and child, no matter what your race, gender, whatever it is. We're talking about equality, not equity like what the left is always talking about. We're talking about equality under the law, in the sense of we all have freedom. We all have certain constitutional rights that are given to us by God, as the founding fathers stated, that cannot be taken away by the government. To me, that's the main thrust of the America First movement. And so, like you said, it is a big tent movement because it's around putting America first. It's a very simplistic perspective that is completely polar opposite of the left. And that's where I think we need to focus on big picture. I think sometimes there's certain segments, obviously, that do get divisive, that start, you know, dividing over a lot of these hot button issues. But I'm always thinking we can deal with that later. First, we've got to save the country. First, we've got to come together, make sure we've all got the constitutional rights. We're bringing back limited government, the whole deal. We can deal with the hot button issues and the divisive issues later after we fix this thing. But if we're fighting over these kind of secondary issues, politically speaking, first, we're never going to turn things around.
No, we're never going to turn things around. But, you know, I think that I think that right now this should be the moment where victory is not even something that we have to work hard to achieve. It should just be there. How much worse can things get? I mean, when gas is at some point approaching $7 a gallon and you can't, I went to the grocery store the other night and I've stopped going to places like Whole Foods where I used to enjoy shopping because I just, you know, I got sober almost 8 years ago. And so when I stopped spending money on alcohol and going to bars and things like that, and I started kind of taking better care of myself, I thought, well, you know, I can kind of justify the extra costs of going someplace like Whole Foods where I feel really good about myself when I'm in there and I'm getting really great quality products and stuff. I don't shop at Whole Foods anymore in an effort to kind of save money. But I went to just one of the regular chain grocery stores. And my grocery bill was $150, and I looked down, and I'm like, I didn't even buy anything. I mean, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. And I mean, literally, I had this moment when I got done, and I saw it was $150, and I was like, is this enough for three meals? Like, what did I just buy?
Yeah.
And then I had to stop and get gas after that, and I spent $80 at the gas station, and I was just like, this is insane. How are Democrats winning anything? Anything? How are there races where Democrats are up 7 or 8 points? How is this happening? But I think that until things get super painful for a lot of people, they're not going to get. And the other thing too is that I think a lot of, and I talk about this a lot, the left has been very successful at pushing this narrative that being a Republican or voting red is not even an option, that is the worst thing that you can do, that you're spending $7 a gallon on gas is bad and spending $150 on nothing at the grocery store is bad, but it's not as bad as voting Republican. It's not as bad as supporting the right. And that is literally the mentality of a lot of people, and they're not going to overcome that. I mean, there are people on the left who are like, I can't pay my mortgage. You know, I can't pay for groceries. I can't keep food on the table. But voting red is not an option. I'm not going to support those people. And I think until we overcome that and we somehow get through to these people again, because we've been completely blocked and suppressed from being able to get our, I mean, my God, we couldn't even get the Hunter Biden story out. We can't even get the Hunter Biden story out to people. You know, until we overcome these limitations and until we make a concerted effort to correct a lot of these horrible narratives that, you know, were these alt-right, far-right extremists and white supremacists and domestic, and until we overcome this, I don't know that the conditions can become painful enough that some people are willing to change their mind. So there's an effort that falls squarely on us to overcome the narrative and let people know you do have an alternative to these horrible Democrat policies that are ruining your life and destroying your family. And it's us. And we're not the people that you think that we are. And this is who we actually are. And we have to get that message out.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18
plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Absolutely. And I actually saw exactly what you're talking about play out because, you know, because I live out here in communist California. And, you know, obviously recently, you know, we had our recall election of Gavin Newsom. And what in a lot of people thought we were going to be able to pull off recalling Newsom heading into that. And now, obviously, there's questions about, you know, did they rig it, all that kind of stuff. But let's just throw that aside. But if you look at the narrative that was out there, it was less about, do you want to recall Gavin Newsom? It was more about, do you want somebody like Larry Elder, who they portrayed as an extension of Donald Trump? So then the vote became a vote between Gavin Newsom or Donald Trump, and we're out here in Democrat heavy California, where they would rather have the $7 per gallon gas, right, than have a Donald Trump up in Sacramento. That's the thing. That's where I wonder as well, is Trump toxic? Not in the sense of, you know, Trump himself, you know, he's evil, he's bad, anything along those lines, but is he too toxic for us as a Republican Party or as a conservative movement to actually engage in a lot of these issues? Because for them, they see any conceding to us as conceding to Donald Trump, and they're buying the lies that he tried to overthrow the government. They're buying the lies that he's dangerous, that he was worthy of having the FBI raid Mar-a-Lago, that he's a criminal, right, that he's, you could just run down the list. I'm wondering if Trump is too toxic from that perspective in order for us to get the other side to concede that, oh yeah, maybe all of these problems are caused by Democrats.
Right. Well, he's become synonymous with the like epitome of all things that are considered to be evil and all things that are considered to be unacceptable. And so he's become, saying his name has become shorthand in a way for what is deemed to be completely unacceptable. And so if you have someone like Larry Elder or a number of other people who may be considered a threat, Carrie Lake, Ron DeSantis, and many others, and then, you know, it's gotten to the point where it takes nothing more than to say, well, she's just the female Trump. Well, he's the black Donald Trump. Well, he's just, you know, the Donald Trump of Florida. You know, and it's just saying that is a dog whistle. It signals to the left-wing base who've completely become brainwashed and indoctrinated and gone on autopilot that, okay, you've summoned the name of Donald Trump, and now I know what I must run away from and must fight back against with all force. And so does that mean that he's toxic? I don't like to reward horrible behavior, and that's what the left is. I mean, so does Donald Trump have to pay the price for the fact that they have conjured up this false reality of who he is and this false image of what he represents? On the other hand, has he done enough to combat that and try to reach across the aisle and correct a lot of the false narratives that have been perpetrated about him throughout the years? That's been a source of great frustration for me too, because certainly a lot more could have been done throughout the years to correct these lies that have been told about him and his followers. And sometimes I almost felt like it was being relished in, like there was sort of this trolling that stemmed from this belief that we couldn't lose. And that, you know, that we don't have to answer to them. We don't have to correct these narratives because we're so indomitable, and this movement is so impenetrable that we're success is guaranteed to us, and it hasn't been.
Yeah. That is a very good point. Now I think the question then becomes is, where do we go from here? Because obviously a lot of us are censored on social media. You know, I've been permanently suspended off of Twitter. Can't engage a lot of times with the other side. So how do we kind of bypass a lot of these algorithmic walls and bubbles and in isolations and actually engage with the other side? How do we actually move forward and actually win people over to our side moving forward?
Well, the strategy that I'm going to take is I'm the creation of my own social media platform. So Walkaway Social, we've basically completed now. It nearly killed me, but we got there, and we'll be launching that. At this point, my question is, because it took much longer than I expected it to take and was much more complicated than I expected it to be, the question is, do I want to launch it this close to the midterms, or do we want to just get through the midterms, let things quiet down, and then launch Walkaway Social? But this Walkaway Social is going to be a platform that people join, create an account, and join Walkaway groups. Now, the Walkaway Testimonial Group, which is the reason why people for years saw these Walkaway videos and testimonial stories going viral all over the internet, was a group on Facebook that grew to over 500,000 people. We had over 510,000 people that had joined this group when Facebook banned it at the beginning of 2021. And so to me, I had to kind of take my own movement, my own career, and my own platform into my own hands. It was extremely difficult, but we built our own platform, and we're going to be launching that soon. Now, I don't think that's a realistic option for most people, because I know how hard it was. And the only reason I was able to do it is because I have so dedicated my life to this work. I don't have a family. I don't have a spouse. I don't have a partner. You know, I hope someday that changes. But for the time being, that is the case. And this took every minute of my life, every 7 days a week, every spare minute of my life, dealing with lots and lots of tech engineers and developers and learning things I never wanted to learn. I think it's going to be incredibly successful, and I think it's going to be incredibly powerful, but I don't think it's a realistic option for most people. What frustrates me is that there is, I'll just say it, in the conservative movement, there's an incredible amount of pettiness and cattiness and competitiveness and division that people don't want to talk about, because people don't want to support other people if they think that they've become too successful, if they think that they have become too self-reliant. I think that's a huge thing of what happened with me, is that I became very successful very quickly, and I did it on my own terms. And I wasn't really reliant on anybody else for my success. And so when I had a tremendous fall following my arrest, I think the majority of people, powerful people, influencers, people in positions of power in the conservative movement, didn't want to help me come back, didn't want to help me, help pull me back up and help me succeed, because I think that there was this feeling kind of good, he got knocked down, you know, and we're not going to help him rebuild. We're not going to help bring Walkaway back and do what we can. because I think for a lot of people, they see this as a zero-sum game. If someone else is succeeding, that means I'm not succeeding. If someone else is getting attention, that means I'm not getting attention. And maybe I went through this because that's something that a lesson that I needed to learn and see clearly, because I've lost almost all of that feeling myself. I now more than ever before have a desire to ally with other people, partner with other people. And I'll be honest with you, I did get a great deal of satisfaction for many years of doing walkaway events and doing them on my own, you know, raising the money on my own, doing the promotion on my own, attracting the audience on my own. And now I see the great benefit of allying and partnering with other grassroots activists and organizations and building coalitions together, because until we start linking arms and working together and supporting one another across the board, we're all going to be siloed into these little, our own little space and our own little zone. And we're not going to be able to grow or flourish beyond the bubble of what we do. And I learned in a really hard way the pitfalls of that, because it's all great when you're doing well. When you're doing well, it's awesome. But the moment that you know, I do believe I was targeted because of my success. And when they knocked me down and beat the hell out of me, and they did, I'm not finding a lot of hands reaching out and saying, let's help pull you back up because you're important and walkaway is important and what you're doing is important. I see a lot of people kind of turning around and whistling and walking the other direction and going, good luck, buddy. It's to the detriment of all of us. I mean, the left wins. You know, it's not about me losing. It's about the left winning. And I would hope that that would be more important to people than the pettiness and the cattiness of, you know, kind of continuing down this path of siloing people and not working together.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things. If we're going to turn things around, we really need to figure out, like you said, how to work together. And I think to a certain degree, as conservatives, there is this individualistic mindset, because we believe in personal responsibility and entrepreneurship and, you know, anti-socialism to a certain degree. And that to a certain degree is one of the strengths of the Democrats and of the left, is that they're all in lockstep. They're in it for the movement for the most part. And it seems like for us, we've got a lot of individualistic mindsets. Everybody's got their own platform, their own organization, their own thing. And then everybody else is seen as competition, as opposed to seeing, okay, I've got my organization, but I need to work with this person, this person, this person, this person, because we've got a bigger issue. We're not going to have a country to fall back onto if we don't fix this. We're not going to have a country for us to succeed if we don't link arms together and fix this. And I think that's one of the weaknesses right now in the GOP, is we've got to figure out how do we link arms and work together and understand we've got a bigger issue to deal with than the success of my own personal company or organization or movement or something along those lines. So I think that's why that's so important. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. No, I think I was just going to agree with what you were saying and also say that it's people have got to learn too, that, this doesn't have to be a zero-sum game, that we can work together, we can support each other, and that doesn't mean that you have less success or that I think we have to stop viewing this in terms of, you know, that there's a limited number of spaces that people can occupy. I think once we get over that belief and we start working together, we're going to see a lot more success on our side of the aisle.
Absolutely. So when it comes to the debate you guys are putting on coming up here soon, where do people go for that if they want to get tickets, if they want to help support it, get the message out, all that kind of stuff? Where do they go for that?
So people can just go to walkawaycampaign.com, click events. So that's walkawaycampaign.com/events, or go to the website and click the events tab. It's right there. Tickets are only $10. We actually had no desire to raise any money from this event whatsoever. So if it were up to me, we'd be offering this completely for free. The only reason we're charging $10 at all is because we've had such a horrible time the last couple of years with leftist trolls signing up for our events when we offer them for free. So by virtue of making people enter a credit card number and their information, it cuts down on that significantly. But that being said, it's only $10. It's in Washington, D.C. We're doing it at a state-of-the-art, gorgeous venue, which will be revealed after you get your ticket. We're not publicizing the venue, but if you get a ticket, you will find out where we're doing the event. It is in downtown D.C. at a easily accessible location near Freedom Plaza. And it's going to be, I think, a groundbreaking, revolutionary event and conversation that's really important. I want to encourage, if you're in Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, New York, New Jersey, or the D.C. area, anywhere nearby, make the drive, make the train ride, make the effort to come and sit in the audience, cheer on the Black Americans who are on the right, who are representing that point of view and fighting back against the left as we discuss these topics like critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, white supremacy, reparations, systemic racism. These things are being used as a stranglehold to control the thinking and voting patterns of Black Americans. We're going to try to shatter those narratives and really create a shockwave, hopefully, of freedom and purposeful conversation. And if you can't come, if you absolutely can't be a part of it, please donate towards the success of the event. And you can do that at the same link. Go to walkawaycampaign.com, click events, and you can make a $10, $20, $50, $100 donation toward this event and future events that Walkaway will do. Join our email list and continue to follow what we're doing and support what we're doing. But I really want to get hundreds of people to come out and be a part of this event, sit in the audience, share it, and encourage as many people as you know to participate in this conversation. Walkawaycampaign.com, click events. This is important. Please step up and be a part of saving our country by participating in this event.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm posting the link in the show notes. That way people are watching this, listen on Apple Podcasts, wherever you guys are. You guys can just click on the link over there, get tickets, and support this if you can. But Brandon, I appreciate having you on. It's always a blast talking to you. We'll have you back on again. Maybe after the event, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how it went.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you. And then everybody else as well. Again, go get tickets for the event. Again, the link's in the show notes. And then also just a quick reminder as well. If you guys go over to freedomfirst.tv, that's our new streaming platform that we've just launched. We've got a bunch of great shows over there, but we're also hosting online summits as well. 2 weekends ago, we had our Root Out the Rhino Summit with Dr. Mark Sherwood, Chad Caton, Teddy Daniels, Mindy Robinson, all talking about some of the strategies on how to root out the rhinos within the Republican Party. In a couple of weeks, we're going to hold another summit that's going to be on the 14th. So it's actually the day before Brandon's event. But on the 14th, we're holding an online summit about transhumanism and artificial intelligence. I'm putting together a bunch of experts in that field as well to talk about that and some of the concerns with that. So if you guys go over to freedomfirst.tv, /subscribe, you guys can actually sign up, get exclusive access to all of these kinds of online summits that we're putting together, and you guys can check that out. But I truly appreciate all of you guys' support and for tuning in. We shall catch you guys next time.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Our Goal Guy, your trusted partner in securing your financial future. Now, let's delve into a topic that's on everyone's minds, the Biden regime and the globalist's relentless assault on your financial freedom. In these uncertain times filled with orchestrated chaos and manufactured crisis, it's crucial to safeguard your wealth against the whims of those in power. That's where precious metals come in. Gold and silver have long been revered as the ultimate hedge against economic turmoil, but make no mistake, those pulling the strings don't want you to own them. That's why it's more important than ever for patriotic Americans to take control of their financial destiny. Enter Our Gold Guy. With decades of experience in the precious metals market, Our Gold Guy is your beacon of hope in a sea of uncertainty. No telemarketers, no sales reps, just personalized consultations tailored to your unique financial situation. Whether you're considering rolling over your IRA or discreetly acquiring physical gold and silver coins, Ira, who happens to be Our Gold Guy, will guide you every step of the way. And here's the best part. Mention the show for a complimentary consultation. Don't let the Biden regime and globalists dictate your financial future. Take the first step towards true financial independence today. Visit OurGoldGuy.com and fill out the form to schedule your consultation with Ira. Again, that's OurGoldGuy.com. Your wealth is worth protecting.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.